Good evening, great evening, everyone. It is Tuesday. It is that time of the week again where we come together for Tap In Tuesday, as we know, our midweek motivation. And tonight, it's going to be a powerful night. But before we get started with Tap In Tuesday with Apostle Janita Collins, we are going to jump into our review from Sunday's teaching. We talked about Jesus mode. So I hope you guys are ready. Let's go ahead and jump into our review this evening. We learned so much on Sunday. And again, we talked about Jesus mode, such a powerful new series that we are on. We just wrapped up unjust emotions in the ecclesia. And now we are learning about Jesus mode, what that looks like, what it requires, and how we are to walk it out. So let's jump into our review. And I hope you guys are ready. The first thing I want to start out with is Jesus mode. What is Jesus mode? It's a sentiment, but guess what? It's the only kingdom sentiment. That is something we learned. Jesus mode is the only kingdom sentiment. And that's the sentiment that we learned on Sunday that Apostle Janita Collins is teaching us about, that that is the only sentiment that in the kingdom of Jesus Christ that we should have and walk out. Why? Because we learned that Jesus mode is obedience to the king. It is our obligation to our king. Jesus mode is led by God, rooted in obedience, and executed through obligation to the king, to his kingdom and his citizenry. That is what Jesus mode is. And so I think it is so befitting that we have now shifted into Jesus mode, coming out of unjust emotions. Why? Because as we have learned what unjust emotions are, what our sentiments are naturally, and what they look like, how they affect the king, we are now learning what it looks like to operate out of kingdom sentiments, the one and only kingdom sentiment, which is Jesus mode. And so we learned that Jesus mode is a governmental sentiment. Again, it is a governmental sentiment. Why? Because it is led by God through obedience. And the only way to operate in Jesus mode is through obedience. We learned that Jesus came with his identity already formulated in eternity. So Jesus already knew who he was. He came knowing who he was. Therefore, he was able to execute accordingly on his Father's behalf as he walked the earth realm. And that is what we are learning. As Apostle Janita Collins is teaching us every Sunday, she's teaching us how to become like Jesus, to walk this earth, to be in this world and truly not of it, but to walk as our King walks. And so another thing we learned was there is only one sentiment in the kingdom that can respond to eternity. And that is, again, Jesus mode. We cannot respond out of our sentiments because our emotions are self-seeking. And we learned that in our previous series. We cannot operate out of our emotional sentiments. We cannot operate out of our cultural sentiments. And we cannot operate out of our relational sentiments. Why? Because all three of those are self-seeking. None of them glorifies the Father. None of them glorifies God. And none of them obey the King. They only obey our flesh. And so we are learning to kick into Jesus mode so that we can truly be obedient to our King and truly fulfill his will here on earth as it is in heaven. One of the scriptures we came from on Sunday, according to John 5:19, was, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And this scripture was referenced to a lot on Sunday. Why? Because in this scripture, we see that even Jesus, as he walked this earth and as powerful as he was, he did nothing out of his own self, but he did everything according to his Father. Only what he saw his Father do. We learned, and we even read through the scripture, that he got up every morning and he sought his Father. Why? We learned on Sunday because Jesus did not want to fail. I thought that was a powerful point and a powerful statement that Apostle Collins brought out on Sunday, which is why we as kings in the kingdom, worship must be our life. Seeking our Father must be a part of our lifestyle, because if we're not seeking our Father, then what are we seeking? Our self sentiments, our own sentiments, our unjust sentiments. But when we seek the Father and we recognize and realize that we can do nothing of ourselves, then we can truly rely on him and we can fulfill his will. And we can only do what we see our Father do. We also learned about heart posture towards God, which is love what he loves. Loving what God loves and hating what he hates is the only way our sentiments can be led by God. Why? Because in the scripture, it says, this is according to Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we love what God loves and hate what he hates, we're not self-seeking and we're not operating out of our personal feelings or our personal preferences, but we are truly operating out of the mind of Christ, which is key. And that's why I love that she pointed out what the heart posture towards God looks like. It's simply loving what he loves. And though it may sound simple, it can be very difficult when our sentiments and our feelings have ruled us for so long. But she also talked about discipline, even on the smallest level, being able to discipline ourselves so that we can operate and execute out of obedience. Another thing, we cannot profess we are led by God and remain in our feelings. Why? Because when we profess that we are led by God, we recognize and we understand that there are actions to what we profess and what we say. We cannot just speak things because we understand that there is power. The power of life and death lies in our tongue. And so when we profess that we are led by God, then that is what we should be walking out and acting out on. We cannot say that we are led by God and remain in our feelings. We cannot say God leads us and do what we want to do according to our own flesh and according to our own lust and according to our own desires. It does not go. And so, again, that makes us double-minded. That makes us a liar. And God does not like that. Another posture we learned about was the mind posture towards God. What is the mind posture towards God? It is to hate what he hates. A scripture reference that we also learned about was be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that is key. Why? Because we must hate what he hates in order to be obedient. This is so because we are naturally going to always go after what we love and desire and what keeps us in our comfort mode. Therefore, hating what God places in us is in the position to love what he loves. We must position ourselves. We must posture ourselves. And that's why she taught us that mind posture towards God is also important. Because if our mind and our heart do not align together, then we are lying. And we are not in the correct posture. We are not posturing ourselves to truly hate what our king hates and to love what he loves. We're loving still what our flesh and our soul desires. And that is the natural things of this world. But the more that we renew our mind, the spirit of our mind, and we do that by reading the word and asking God for wisdom and seeking his face so that we can truly take on his mind. When we love our Adamic nature and our emotions and our culture and our personal relationships over God, it hinders our renewal, it hinders our transformation, and it truly hinders the ability to nurture our new created spirit man. Obedience requires alignment of both our heart and our mind with God's desires and his will. Why? Because if both our heart and our mind are not in agreement, again, we make ourselves a Judas. And we learned about that. How do we make ourselves a Judas? Because we eventually will betray God for our personal gain. And as kings in the kingdoms, we cannot be a Judas and a king. It does not work. And God cannot be deceived. So the only person we will be deceiving is ourselves. That's why it's important for us to renew our minds daily and for us to operate out of true obedience, which requires our heart and our mind to be in alignment and in agreement with the will and the desires of our king. Some other things that we learned is without a heart aligned with God's mind, rulership over ourselves is impossible. And that's why we went through the series of unjust emotions in the Ecclesia, because we learned about our sentiments, how they constantly show up, how they're constantly going forth, and how they are ruling over us. But as we are now switching over into Jesus mode is a governmental stance. And we govern over our emotions. We tell our emotions how they will function. And that is according to the mind of Christ. We run our emotions and they do not run us. They do not rule over us. But again, without being in agreement with our king and without being in agreement with God in our heart and our mind, we cannot rule over our own selves. That's why it's imperative that we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. We also learned that Jesus' heart posture was towards his Father at all times. That he had his heart posture fixed towards his Father at all times before and during his earthly ministry. What was his heart posture? His heart posture was nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. And that is the posture that we should remain in and operate in. Why? Because it keeps us safe and it keeps us in his will and it keeps us out of our own will. Because we recognize that our feelings and our emotions, our sentiments and our desires and what we want does not matter. But what matters in the kingdom of Jesus Christ is what the King wants and how he wants it done. Discipleship and true sonship demands a heart that is moved by God's desires and not our personal sentiments. And so renewal of our mind is imperative. Why? Because it means rejecting our personal, cultural, and emotional tendencies that opposes God. We want to reject everything that opposes our King. And so without hating what God hates, we will truly default to governing ourselves by worldly standards. And as we know, as we are learning and as we are understanding that we cannot be in God's world and allow ourselves to be governed by worldly standards. The standards of the world are not God's standards. And they do not belong in his kingdom. They do not belong in his world. And we have no right to bring the worldly standards into God's world. But what we can do is bring God's standards here into this world, because that's what we're called to do. And that's what we learned on Sunday. That is what Jesus did. He brought the standards of the kingdom of heaven to earth, and he fulfilled them. He walked them out. He never compromised. Jesus did not make decisions based on pity. I love this. This was another point that Apostle Collins made on Sunday. She stated that Jesus did not make decisions based on pity. He did not make decisions based on public pressure, and he did not make decisions based on personal pain. But what he did was make decisions as a king executing for his father. I thought that was a powerful statement. Why? Because all three of the things that she pointed out, pity, public pleasure, and personal pain, which are all unjust emotions, I was able to correlate those. We recognize that pity equals emotional, public pressure equals cultural, and personal pain equals connections, which all equals to our relational sentiments. And Jesus operated in none of them. And so all of these sentiments have something in common. And what is that? Keeping us out of the will of God and operating in disobedience. All of which we know God hates disobedience. He requires obedience. So we must have an obligated spirit and will. Why? Because personal interpretations and our personal preferences override God's instructions and his commands all the time. And then when we cry out and we ask God and we seek him for things, we expect him to fulfill and to execute on our behalf. But we never think about all the times where God asked and required something of us and we did the opposite. We did what we wanted to do, or we did what we thought was best, just like we learned about Lot and his wife. Lot thought asking God and negotiating and getting what he wanted, that he was okay. But no, God had fulfilled that, because he still needed to execute what his plan was. And so our discipline in small matters is very essential to fully obligate our will to God. We got that example on Sunday, which was Apostle Collins gave us an example on Sunday of, which I believe was very appropriate. And though it seems like it was small and simple, I recognize that we have trouble disciplining ourselves to be obedient, even on this smallest level. And she gave the example of the red wall, the white wall, and the blue wall. And if God says, paint the wall red, all three walls red, and you decide to paint two of them red and one white because you think it's too much red, or you decide to paint two of them white and one blue because you thought it would be too much white. Either way, still, that's a small level. We can't even execute according to that because our emotions are always in the way. And we've decided that my personal preference is I'd rather have two red walls and one red wall and not all three red. And never taking in and understanding or even wondering, well, what God, not even wondering, but just taking on and agreeing with God, agreeing. I don't understand why, but God, I agree with you because you said do so. I trust you. And we can't even execute on that smallest level. And so I appreciate that example because it gives us the opportunity to truly look at ourselves and to see just how much we are disobedient, even on the tiniest level. Because if we can't obey in the smallest lessons, we cannot obey on any larger lessons. Another thing we learned is obedience is marked by submission and compliance. Again, that is agreeing, and that is surrendering our will. And so submitting and complying, our willful submission to the command of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, despite our raging sentiments, is a must. we must quiet and we must shut out all of our raging sentiments because they lead us down the path of destruction and not on the path of righteousness. Compliance cannot happen without first surrendering to God's will. We learned that. Before you can comply, you must first surrender. You must first give up and recognize, God, I can't do this by myself. It is not in my own strength, and so I surrender. We have to surrender our own will, our own thoughts, our own strength, and then comply with God's strength and with God's will. And so surrendering, what does surrendering do? It places our emotions and it places culture and it places relationships and our will under God's possession, which then places him in control, and we can now be led into all truth. We were encouraged on Sunday, and we were not even so much encouraged, we were commanded, because I think it's very key to follow the blueprint of Jesus Christ. There's many blueprints, but as we learned and as we are understanding that the only blueprint to into the kingdom is to only do what we see our Father do. And another scripture that was referenced was John 5:19. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. And so written all throughout scripture, our responses, our desires, our outcomes, and our consequences, we see that all throughout scripture. What happens when we do according to our own will, and we see what happens when we obey according to God's will. And so we have to make a decision if we're going to obey according to God's will or if we're going to obey according to our own will. And if we're going to do our own will, then we must no longer say that we are a part of the kingdom. But if we truly want to be a part of the kingdom and a son, a true son of God, we must obey his commands, his laws, and his statutes. Lastly, we learned about safeguarding and protecting the Father's reputation through our obedience. Another powerful and key statement, because I think we don't think about how when we obey, that we're actually safeguarding and we're protecting and we're defending the reputation of Jesus Christ. And so misrepresentation of God through our compromise of worldliness truly damages the reputation of the kingdom, which is why Jesus mode is important. Because when we're in Jesus mode, we are mindful about how we carry ourselves. We are mindful about how we are conducting ourselves. We are mindful and we understand that every one of our actions speaks on behalf of the king. And so we must ensure that our actions align with his kingdom standards to preserve God's honor. And so as we wrap up our review this evening, I want us to remember and to recognize that in Jesus' mode, we are truly and completely dedicated to the mission of Jesus Christ, and that is doing the will of our Father. And so in our closing again, as I always like to leave us with, a question is something that will truly cause us to address, examine, and confront our sentiments. Based on what Apostle Collins has taught us, ask yourself this, as I ask myself, are you in Jesus mode as the wheat or sentiment and self-preference as the tare? Ask yourself that and truly examine and be honest and allow God to show you you. Amen. I pray that this review has truly encouraged you. I pray that this review has truly blessed you. And stay tuned for more, because it's not over. Again, it is Tap In Tuesday tonight. And so we are about to tap in with Apostle Johnita Collins. So I hope you are ready. Let's grab your notebooks, grab your Bibles, and truly let's begin to tap in with Apostle Johnita Collins.
Welcome to Tap In Tuesdays with Apostle Johnita Collins. Join us every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. to tap in and take over.
We are back together again. We are all tapped in. I have these readers on. Forgive the reflection and all of that. It is what it is, okay? My age is my age, and I'm unashamed of it, but I need help with these here readers. With that being said, listen, thank you, Prophet Nadia. She did a great review about the Jesus mold. Listen, we are in the Jesus mold. I have to teach you about the true heart posture of Jesus and what it looks like in today's time so that we can get in alignment with our King. So I want to welcome you to Tap In Tuesday, where truth is not adjusted to culture, but culture is confronted by truth. Listen to me. I have to confront the culture of the church, the culture of the people who are professing to be Christians, because I want you to go to heaven and not to hell. That's the whole point of me getting on every Sunday and every Tuesday and helping you to work out your soul salvation. Right? So tonight we're going to look into the Jesus mold, the heart posture, because Jesus never made a decision from pity. I know, I believe Prophet Nadia pulled out these points. Jesus never made a decision from pity. He never made it from a position of public pressure nor personal pain. Jesus obeyed his Father. He obeyed his Father even when it caused division, even when it caused pain, even when it caused him to be rejected. Listen, but the question is, how about you? Are you one walking with the posture, with the correct heart posture towards Jesus Christ in the things that he asks of you? Yes, I'm asking that question. That's a real question that you have to begin to ask yourself, because if not, you might find yourself in a different position. You might find yourself as one of those who Jesus says, get from before me, I never knew you. Why? Because you lean to your own understanding and your own sentiments the whole time. And it doesn't mean that he's going to not use you. Gifts are without repentance. People are being used every day. The issue is your work putting up what Jesus wants out of your life on record so that when it's time to be judged, you can get in? Come on here. I told you, Jesus, listen, his obedience was unto the vision. According to Luke 12 and 51, it says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Listen, Jesus refused to compromise truth for a public agreement. His allegiance was always to his Father's will, not to societal peace. Wherever Jesus went, he didn't necessarily create peace. He created peace with those who agreed with him, but clearly he created division as well. He walked the earth separating light from darkness. Come on. He walked the face of the earth separating those who understood who was before them and leaving those who weren't. If you didn't understand that he was Jesus or Rabbi, he even said, well, what do you call me? And for those who did not recognize him as such, he wasn't standing there arguing with them. He stayed about his Father's business. He was obedient unto the vision. He was even obedient unto pain. According to Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Come on. You don't even want to be acquainted with grief. But Jesus was acquainted with grief, and he never stopped doing what he was supposed to do. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Pain did not redirect his mission or his commission. As a matter of fact, the pain that he suffered on this earth, listen, refined his obedience, because he didn't give it up. He didn't stop the process. He didn't get off the track. He didn't say, oh, I need a break. He didn't do all of this humanistic nonsense that you do from day to day. And listen, claiming that you're with God Almighty. Come on, y'all. Let's tap in. It is Tap In Tuesday. I have to help you, because if you don't begin to understand that you are not obedient, but you are obsessed with your own processes, with your own desires, with your own thoughts, with your own love, with your own direction, with your own will. You're not obedient, you're obsessed. Oh, come on here today. Get your deliverance. Jesus was even obedient unto rejection. According to John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh, come on here. As this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. When a person decides not to walk with you, they have rejected the truth that you bring. They have decided that another form they prefer. Oh, come on here. Jesus would rather lose followers than lose alignment with the Father. Is that you? Is that you? Can we say that that's actually you? That you put the Father's preference before your own? We have to begin to look at our heart posture and look at the heart posture of Jesus and make a real analysis in comparison to it. I went through, oh my God, I don't even know how many. It must have been at least 25 points, 25 heart postures on Sunday. Tonight, I'm going to only review 7 and bring them out. The first one was to be led by his Father. That's according to John 5:19. Listen, you're going to have to open up your scripture and read your word. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. That is the truth. I said on Sunday, he did not walk the face of the earth starting his own ministry. His ministry came from eternity. And the problem with Christians today is that they don't even know what ministry is, and they don't even know what a minister does. Oh, come on here. Oh, come on here. Leadership in the kingdom starts with fellowship with the Father. I need you to understand, if you can't be a follower, you can't be a leader. And if you can't follow the Father, you're not a kingdom leader for sure. But if you don't even know the Father, if you're not acquainted with the Father, then how can you even be acquainted with his kingdom? We have pastors of today, churches of today, adopting the latest fads to grow their churches. But here's the real modern example. You don't do what the world does just because the world says that that's how you should do it. You're a called out, separated one. So you can't do everything that the world does. You can't grow the same way that the world does. You have to leave the Holy Ghost in position to direct you and to confirm with you what you believe that you're hearing. You have to allow your leader to help you to understand how you're hearing, what God is saying. Other than that, what is your template? Your own mind? Oh, come on here. That's why we're in the position that we're in, because we're too busy operating in our own mind, and our heart is too far from God, which means obedience is not even on the table. The Jesus mold heart posture, listen, it must ask God for direction daily. Ask God about the assignment. And it also must be willing to not move without the Lord, without his peace, without the Holy Ghost, and without all of eternity backing you. Come on, I'm going to teach you how to implement the Jesus mold. This is the heart posture of one who is in the Jesus mode. I became the number one financial advisor, not only in my city, but in my region. I was able to take over a territory, not because I did it my way, but I promise you, every day I ask God, so who shall I talk to today? Where do you want me to go? What am I to do today? Do you posture yourself like that? Are you posturing yourself for the Lord to lead you, for the Holy Ghost to guide you, to model yourself after Jesus the Christ? He got up every morning and consulted with his Father, not about what he wanted. Most of y'all get up every morning and pray about what you want. Oh, come on here. Your prayers are always about what you want, never considering that you're not even in the posture or the position that is ordained for your life at this point. Point two, to advance according to his Father. John 8 and 28, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Jesus is constantly reporting back to how he conducts himself. He is not constantly talking about what he thinks. Oh, come on. This is for you who always want to talk about what you think. Even when Jesus speaks to you, even when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, even when God speaks to you, listen, it has to be according to how he speaks. He doesn't speak a foreign language. I love that song. I speak spirit. I don't speak English. I speak like. Listen, you have to be able to speak spirit. And the fact that you are not connected to the Holy Spirit is a whole issue, because you can't hear clearly and you think that your sentiments is the spirit. You process everything through your sentiment. Therefore, what? You're not hearing. You're not taught of the Father. Therefore, you're not speaking for the Father. Advancement without authorization is absolute rebellion. I need you to understand, we've been talking about obedience, disobedience, but I need you to understand that if you are operating rebelliously, you want to understand why. If you are constantly advancing yourself, well, I know God told me to do it like this. I know God want me to do this. I know God want me to do that. Surely God wouldn't keep anything good for me. Surely God wants me to have the desire of my heart. I can't stand that rhetoric, because it's a lie. Because your heart is a heart of stone. And until you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're operating with a heart of flesh out of the book of Ezekiel, you are not in alignment with the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can he really want to fulfill the desires of your heart when your heart is not his heart? And when you advance like that, you are not authorized to position yourself to do things any old kind of way. You're supposed to be a servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But in all actuality, you are a rebellious being. Why? Because you're not willing to wait. You're impatient. You have no patience. You're not willing to wait for God's timing before launching anything. You're constantly moving forward without the backing of the Lord. And then you actually are upset and mad at God because things didn't work out the way that you felt like they should have worked out. God is like, I never authorized that. You moved in your own power. That's your own backing. You should have backed your own project. Listen, we gotta begin to slow down and wonder, are we in the timing of God with the things that we are doing? Are we advancing according to the Father or according to our flesh? I need you to implement the Jesus mold heart posture daily by asking God for the correct direction. Right? Ask him for that assignment. Ask him how you should implement the assignment. Ask him how you should fulfill it. Ask him what is the steps so that you are not lost. And then you have to refuse to move without hearing clearly from God. The peace of God has to be with you. Many of you have not exercised your soul out to even know what the peace of God of it is. Many of you are riddled with anxiety and fear, and you don't really know how to move and navigate your walk spiritually with God because you don't even have the peace of God. And the reason why you don't have the peace of God is because you haven't practiced patience. Study the scripture and understand what patience does. Patience has a job. I'll teach you that one day. That's not where we at right now. I need you to tap in to following the blueprint of the Father. According to John 12:49-50, every word was pre-approved in heaven before it was spoken on earth. Listen. When these worship teams and when, you know, we're doing things and they're not aligned scripturally, when we're singing songs and they're not aligned scripturally, and we're just going with what's trending, you gotta understand that you're speaking words that aren't even spoken in eternity. And when you fill your life up from that perspective, you can't wonder why, what? You're finding yourself lost and wandering. Because the blueprint is already scripted out. Your words are powerful. What you say, how you speak, it's not a mistake. It's intentional. You took the time to say it. Oh, come on here. This is for those of you who believe you can just say anything and then say, oops, that's not what I meant. It's exactly what you meant. What you should take the time to do is to slow yourself down and be patient with yourself and wonder, why are these your choices of words? What is running in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind that's causing you to articulate something that is not where you want to be? Are your words in alignment with scripture? I need you to implement the Jesus mold heart posture. Speak heaven's words only. Speak eternal words only. Love what he loves. Hate what he hates. Know what that is. Test your words against scripture. Because many of you are out here counseling and prophesying falsely, and there's a whole judgment on that. Many of you are out here releasing words and speaking words over your own life, over your family's life, over the ministries, just going on and on and on because you like word solids. But in this, you have to posture your heart. Posture your heart to speak truth, eternal wisdom. And you have to fight for that. You have to read the word for that. It doesn't just happen overnight, but if you're diligent and if it's what you really want, then you'll achieve the blueprint of the Father. There's absolutely nothing new under the sun. Scripture has everything that we need. Are you willing to follow the pattern of the Father according to Hebrews 8:5? I need you to understand ministry is not a whole new innovation. Let me say it again. Ministry is not a whole new innovation. God doesn't need you to be innovative. God needs you to produce and replicate what has already been done. If that was not so, then Jesus would not have said what? I only do what I see the Father do. There's an eternal pattern to ministry. And in case you've forgotten, I keep saying you can't be in Christ Jesus and not be a minister of the gospel. At minimum, if you only minister into yourself, you're still a minister of the gospel. The problem with the church today is that it's taking in so much foolishness from the world that it's actually a corporation. It used corporate wisdom in a whole kingdom from eternity. It will never match up. And that's why many of you are losing what? Your corporate dollar now. Because God is like, I'm turning the whole church upside down. I'm exposing these false pastors and false bishops and false apostles and false prophets. He's tearing these ministries down because they're patterned after corporate systems. They're so busy teaching you their system that they never teach you Jesus the Christ. Oh, come on here. Let's implement the Jesus mold heart posture from day to day to day. I stand on this. I build living epistles. You can come here all day and all night. You can bless me real good. It's still not going to change the fact that I am required to build living epistles, which means I'm required to give you the truth and I'm required to search your spirit. I'm required to know you by your spirit and not by your flesh. And the problem with the body of Christ, it only wants to do flesh and no pure Holy Spirit. But that is the order of eternity. To know no man by their flesh. You'll never know me by my flesh. Though you may have a human experience with me, to know me is to know me by the Spirit. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't have a foreign spirit. I build disciples here. And Jesus is the one that I'm following, and he's the example, not a business template, not a church planting template. We have to do the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Christ, and God the Father. We have to read the scripture and see how did they build. And the first example is Jesus the Christ. The second example is what? The apostles. But Jesus the Christ is still the chief cornerstone. He's still the head of the ecclesia. He is still the foundation of the ecclesia. And according to what we're seeing today, did we just, I heard something about some, I don't know what he is, a pastor or something, saying that he's the pastor of abortions or something. Did y'all hear that? Yeah, it's some crazy stuff going on out here. I gotta research that a little bit more. But you gotta watch what people are saying that they follow. Because if you're not following the template of the Father, you're becoming a different father, a different form. According to Matthew 6 and 10, listen, kingdom order on earth mirrors kingdom order in heaven. And if God is the life giver, he is not the God of abortions. With that being said, we got to know how to order ourselves. We got to know the template of the Father. We got to understand what it is to do kingdom. As a leader, we got to understand, how do we resolve what? Conflicts. How do we actually help and assist? Who do we actually address and don't address? All of these things are already written in the scripture. Who should be doing what? The order of it. You know what I always wonder? Because you can read in scripture, it says, hey, if you have aught against your brother, you should go to your brother. If your brother doesn't want to hear from you, you should go to, does anybody know?
The elders.
There's a whole system that we don't use. I think that's strange. But I think the first strange thing is we don't go to our brother. Anyway, I guess you'll catch it on Sunday. Right? Because the truth of the matter is, we want to do all of these shortcuts, and we want to say that they're legal shortcuts. You know, we don't have to deal with people, or I'm just going to sweep it under the rug, right? Claiming that you're putting it under the blood, and it's actually not. We don't know how. We don't even know what scriptural integrity is anymore. We just don't have that, right? Why don't we have it? Because the standards of the kingdom, the standards of scripture, are no longer being taught. So therefore, how can it even be accomplished if it's not being taught? You have to look at who you are even posturing yourself under. Who are you following and why? Or who have you followed and why? Because the other thing that we don't want to do in the body of Christ, in order to get that heart postured correctly, in order to get ourselves cleaned up, you got to go back and look at where you've been and what you've done. And the reality is, nobody really wants to do that. But how can you become holy and righteous when you can't even righteously and integrally deal with real issues that keep you out of the kingdom and keep you out of Christ? One of the other points that I made was that Jesus beheld his Father. To behold his Father, according to John 14 and 9, beholding transforms. That's why he listened. He was like, wait a minute. I get up, I deal with my Father first. Why? Because his Father was transforming him every day with information, knowledge, wisdom, and insight. Every day he was getting closer and closer to fulfilling the ultimate reason why he came to earth. And he had all of these different things that he had to do before he qualified to even go to the cross. But in order for him to get to that cross, he never ever turned away from his Father and said he'll do his own way. He never ever turned away from his Father and said, oh, you know what? You've shown me once or twice. I think I got it. And that's what many of you do from day to day. I got it. I understand. I know. Don't know how to take wisdom. Wisdom speaking, and so is your heart. Wisdom speaking, and so is your sentiments. Wisdom is speaking, and so is your intellect. Jesus did not put himself above his Father. That's why he was able to be transformed. That's why he went on to glory. That's why he completed the whole mission and commission that he was sent here to do. Because listen, I need you to understand. When you see the Father, whether in scripture, face to face, whatever, when you begin to see the Father, you can now begin to take on his nature. When you begin to see me, when you begin to see my apostleship, you can then begin to take on the nature of an apostolic being. With that being said, You gotta be able to understand that it's your obligation to seek God. It's your obligation to seek your leader before making major decisions in your life, and even minor decisions in your life, depending on where you are, depending on how accountable you need to be, depending on how healed you are, depending on how broken you are. You must understand how you must behold the Father. You must understand how you must behold the Word. You must understand how you must behold your leader. Listen, you got to understand what to seek and when and why. So in order to implement the Jesus mold heart posture when it comes to beholding the Father, listen, it's important for you to prioritize time in God's presence. If you don't know how to prioritize time in God's presence, and if you're always ready to get up and run and go here and you'll get back with God at some other day and time or point, whew, that's a scary position. And that's not the Jesus mold heart posture. It is your job to guard your devotional time. Your devotional time is just as critical as that important meeting at your job. But some kind of way, Jesus is always what? Swept under the rug. Jesus is always put on the back burner. We always got something more important. Listen, sometimes I go 3, 4, 5 hours. I don't really care. Everything can wait when it comes to Jesus. Why? Because I know he's a restorer. He's a restorer. And when I'm diligent and when I'm seeking him and I'm all about him, I can't fail. He gonna let me fail? Because I was chasing after him? It don't work like that. To admire and glorify his Father, according to John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Listen, in order for that glory to happen, all of those other things had to happen before. Jesus, his whole fulfilling of his duty when he came to earth to glorify his Father is because he was fully obedient. He was fully obedient to everything that he saw his Father do, to every word that his Father spoke, to everything that he remembered, to everything. Listen, he didn't take any of his lessons or any of his time on earth and waste it. Because when you admire the Father, it means that you humble yourself and you admire the way that he takes you. You understand that the way that he takes you, he's going after something greater than you could ever imagine for yourself. And he's going to get all the glory from that route. But it has to be a finished work. And the problem right now is we like to do a lot of different tasks. And we like to say it's for God. But the truth of the matter, we take routes that are for us so that we get the recognition, not God. Our interest is not to glorify God with our very breath. Oh, come on here today. When you wake up, I mean, even when you put your makeup on, I put these, I'm like, God, I don't get the glory from this right here. Why? Because I understand something. I understand I do nothing without the Father. Do you know that the Holy Ghost want to talk to you about even how you dress, how you look from day to day? Because he knows what and who he wants to be attracted towards you. Okay. I remember when I first came back to Christ. And I was like, so what we doing? Because it looked like everybody had on wigs and everybody had on shiny clothes and everybody just had this look. You know the different denominational looks. Because there's some people who they just wear jean skirts, long ones, and jean jackets and black. All of them wear it. You like, y'all all made a jean skirt? Or where did y'all find the jean skirt? Do they still sell jean skirts? I mean, it's amazing, but they all look that way. And I was like, so is the requirement for me to go to church is to begin to look like the people in the church, God? And he was like, no. I was like, oh, because, yeah, I'm glad that that's not a requirement. Come on here. Because if you would only have a real conversation with God, he'll keep you from falling short of his own glory. He'll keep you out of the loopholes of the church system and of the world system if you just are honest about what you are actually thinking. See, I'm not afraid to ask God any question. Because he said he'll hold no good thing from me. And wisdom is a good thing. Knowledge is a good thing. Understanding is a good thing. So when I walk into situations that I don't understand, I don't start asking other people first. I start asking God. And if he has to use a person, I'm okay with that too. But I'm not okay with being ignorant and causing myself to be derelict in duty to my very own king. And many of you are derelict in duty because you won't even ask the right question. You just go along to get along. Cultural sentiments, social sentiments, listen. Go down the list of sentiments. Listen to my teachers because they'll get you out of your sentiments and into kingdom sense, logic. You understand what I'm saying? Glory is the byproduct of full obedience. And in this Jesus mode heart posture, that should be what you're going after. You should wake up and make God's glory your goal every day. I live to glorify the Father, not I live to glorify his adversary. I'm going to keep standing on that because many decisions from day to day, from moment to moment, glorifies his adversary. And you don't stop to consult the Father so that you make sure that what you're hearing and what you're and what's being filtered through is a part of his plan for your life, that he may get the glory from it. I pray to God that that helps you. I pray to God that that helps you. Because if you don't take the time to look at your heart posture, if you don't take the time to begin to address God and address the kingdom and address Jesus and address the Holy Spirit according to eternity, you are causing a whole mishap that could be addressed. And the first mishap is that you're not actually working out your soul salvation. So the death of sentiments and decision-making has to be what you're going after in this hour. Put your sentiments to death. When it comes to your decision-making, listen. Pity without purpose produces disobedience. And everything about your sentiments is all about pity. Mr. T used to say, I pity a fool. I pity a fool. Listen, you're always getting on the pity bus. But Jesus didn't walk around looking to have pity upon people. He even said, what? Get up. Pick your bed up and walk. That's not pity. But certain things drove him to compassion, though. And that is the truth. But your sentiments is causing death in your decision making. It's not logical. It doesn't align with the word of God. It is not scriptural. It is all earthbound. And in the Jesus mold, it utterly rejects the manipulation of emotions. And that's a major problem for many of you because you have been so used and so accustomed to manipulating every choice, every decision that you make by your emotions that when truth comes, you reject it. And you want somebody to have pity on you. But there's no purpose for that pity. There's absolutely no purpose for that pity. And what you should be pressing for is the presence of Jesus preserving your life through his wisdom, through the scripture. Not through manipulation of emotions, which creates nothing but malfunctions. I talked to you guys Sunday about Jesus doing nothing that he did not see his father do. That's a disciplined life unto the Father. He was being led by his father and he was being led into more and more death. I mean, more and more life, even though the goal was for him to die and to gain eternal life. Come on here. And I said on Sunday that the reason why many of you are failing in your walk is because you have no interest in being led. A leader can sit up there and have a whole pouring out. And you're going to synthesize the information through your emotions and manipulate yourself into thinking that you heard and that you agree. Because everything about you is to bring down anything that challenges you to come out of your sentiments, to come out of your emotions, to come out of manipulation, and make it make sense to your flesh, not your new created spirit. Oh my God. Jesus aligned himself with his Father, and he did it over and over and over and over again. He sustained his life by being led by his Father. He didn't do it for a season. He didn't do it for a moment. He didn't do it for one reason. He did it over and over and over and over again. And then when it really counted, when it was time for it to count, when the training was about to be put to the ultimate test, Jesus did not bow out. He said, nevertheless, thy will be done. Many of you bow out. You can say that you're following. You can say that you're following. But when the time comes to show what you're following, you bow out and you fail the test. You don't bring God the glory. You bring your emotions to glory. You bring your sentiments to glory because that is what you're talking about. And that's the state of mind you're in. And that's what's flowing from your heart. The issues of life are flowing from your heart and it's completely taken over what you were supposed to accomplish. Why? Because you were never actually allowing yourself to be led by the word. you were brainstorming all along about what you agreed with and what you didn't. You were brainstorming all along about what you was going to act on and what you weren't. That's why you wanted to spend time with a reprieve and alone with your own thoughts and your own mind to put your own self back together again. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Listen, are you putting yourself back together again and again and again and again, but yet you're saying that you're being led by God? There's an eternal blueprint from heaven above that causes you to succeed and to live and not die. But for some reason, some of your living is just seasonal. You got seasonal living and seasonal dying. But I'll say this, and I want you really to understand it. The cost of an uncompromised, obedient life is division, it's pain, and it's rejection, right? Why? Those things Jesus had to do. They're not signs that you're wrong. They're actually signs and proof that you're walking in alignment. Because guess what? Your whole soul is going to be divided. The word itself, the Holy Spirit itself, if Jesus came not to bring peace, but to bring division between light and darkness, why would you think that your Adamic nature can remain and your new created spirit has to stay asleep? No, if your new created spirit is being fed and being developed, then there will be a division in your very soul. There'll be a division in your very mind. Listen, it has to be divided because now you have to make some decisions. And while you're making those decisions, they're going to be painful. You're going to have to give up some things that you once loved. You're going to have to give up some ways that were comfortable for you. And listen, it's going to be painful. And then why it's even painful, you're going to go through a whole period of rejection. You're going to have to reject your own mind, reject your own soul, reject your own heart. You have to reject it yourself. Before you even get to being concerned about people rejecting you, here's the biggest question. Can you reject you? Oh, come on here today. Can you reject you and consult your Father every day and only do what you see him do? Hallelujah. Now, that's the real proof of alignment. Reproducing the Father's pattern. That's the apostolic work. Because at the beginning and the end of the day, we only build what we're called to build. We only build what God asks us to build. And right here at Rain Embassy, we build living epistles. That's a period and that's a point blank. And we build living epistles according to the scripture. That's it. This is not a hangout ministry. This is not a pity ministry. This is a ministry where you want to grow and learn and become the king that God created you to be before the foundations of this earth. With that being said, again, I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. This was Tap In Tuesday. I think we tapped in. I think we tapped into the heart posture of Jesus Christ. His obedience, his desire to glorify the Father, because he admired the father. He wasn't arguing from day to day, telling his father how wrong he was and how he just didn't understand what he was supposed to be doing. Oh, come on. Y'all should listen to yourselves. You should really listen to yourself and help yourself. With that being said, I'm going to pray a prayer tonight that's going to help you, so you can help yourself. And I pray that you listen to it over and over again and get your whole heart, mind, and soul together. So, Lord, we strip off pity-led decision-making in the name of Jesus. We strip you from pressure-led compromises today in the name of Jesus. You will no longer make decisions based off of pressure and not the purity of eternity existing in you, and not from, listen, the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you. You will no longer make decisions and take detours because you were led by your own personal pain. Come on here today. Your personal pain is no longer your guide, but the Holy Spirit is. And so I strip personal-led pain from detouring your life. I strip pressure-led compromises from detouring your decisions. And listen, I strip pity-led decisions from making you out to be something you were never meant to be. I sit you in your right place. I realign you with the heart of flesh that moves just like the heart that moves from the book of Ezekiel. I posture you today towards Jesus the Christ. And you will not look to another to lead you and guide you, but you will find life from the scripture and from the scripture alone. I rebuke the spirit of emotions, and I rebuke the spirit of manipulation from your wheelhouse today. And I pull down your will, and I set you in your rightful place to do the will of the Lord. I uproot fear. I uproot fear from you and anxiety from you today. You are not led by the spirit of fear, nor from the spirit of anxiety. Listen. You are now led from being responsible and obligated to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, that his will go forth from your life and that you will freely glorify him. So I thank you, Lord, for touching the lives of your people. Let your blueprint, let your pattern, and let your template and your temperament of eternity direct each and every one of their paths today, clearly and exponentially, through obedience to the Holy Spirit and the scriptural wisdom that comes from eternity. I thank you, God, for doing it. I thank you for your blood washing each and every one of them clean today. I thank you, Holy Ghost, for joining them and meeting them in the midnight hour and beginning to literally nurture them and nurture their new created spirit, that they will not be found outside of their minds, but be being found clothed and in their right minds, ready to do the work of the Lord, ready to be obedient, and ready to be a bond servant to the King. Lord, I thank you that on this day, every devil in hell that thought that they were going to win over their lives because this word has not only been taught, but it's been preached, that now they can find life and find their life hidden in Christ, no longer hidden in the world and no longer hidden in themselves. I thank you for tapping in today. I pray that you listen to this prayer over and over, and not listen just for it to be prayed over you, but listen because this is the word of the Lord that you must now put into action. Prayer goes forth and then it waits for you to go into action so that all of eternity can back you. God is not doing it. You're doing it. God bless each and every one of you, and I'll see you on Sunday.